طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today, alhamdulillah, this is our first session for the course, which is based upon the book entitled Let's Begin to Read Arabic. I think that the author of the book, Dr. Fa Abdurrahim, is a world-renowned scholar of Arabic language and a linguist, a master of multiple languages. He's well known, and his program is well known, the Medina program. So we're not going to use our time to talk about that today. But we're going to make just a few introductory comments. We're going to go over some notes that were sent out to those who registered in advance. And then we're going to go right into the book. At least, hopefully, we're going to take the first lesson today. Okay, so let me see here. If there's anybody here who did not register with the class, and it's not mandatory that you register, but if you didn't register and we don't have your information, then if you would like to receive notification of the things that we're going to be doing, updates on the class, homework assignments, and things like that, then it would be necessary for us to give you an email address. It would be necessary for you to give us an email address. Otherwise, everybody is welcome. You can come and sit in. That's not a problem at all. Okay. So, like I said, if anybody has not registered and we don't have your email address and you would like to receive updates on the class and homework assignments and things like that, can somebody hold this for me in case anybody needs to register? They can just, all we need is your name and your email address. All we need is your name and email address. And we'll be sending to the class, we'll be sending to the people whose email address we have, we'll be sending information from time to time, notes, and other things that inshallah will be helpful. And very importantly, we'll be sending out the weekly homework assignments, reminding you of what you should be doing during the week. All right, let's try to get started. The first thing that I want to begin with as part of our introductory comments is to remind myself and each of us of the importance of having a sincere intention of whatever we're doing, to have the intention of doing it for the sake of Allah alone. It is well known to the Muslims, alhamdulillah, especially the people of Sunnah, that there's no good deed that's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless it is done with sincere intention, with ikhlas, and done in accordance with that which has been legislated by Allah through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in accordance with the Sunnah. So intention is very critical. It's essential for a good deed to be accepted, and learning is worship. And learning the Arabic language for the purpose of worshipping Allah, is extremely important in order to be able to read the Quran in Arabic, and in order to at some point hopefully have access to the books of the scholars and what they have discussed concerning Islam. Arabic language is very, very important. So let us be reminded of the importance of having sincere intention in the beginning and during the course, and in the end, trying to keep our intention focused purely for the sake of Allah alone. Second point I want to mention is what I expect from you. What I expect from you. And if you register for this course, meaning you say that I want to join the class, then this entails a commitment that you are making. And what we expect from you is that you attend regularly. That you attend regularly. It's very important. If you don't attend regularly, it's going to be difficult for you to get the benefit if you're not here. Second thing, that you be punctual, that you come on time. The class starts at 12 o'clock. So, since we are having the class in the masjid, it's from the sunnah that when you enter a masjid, that you pray 2 rak'ah, tahiyatul masjid, upon entering the masjid. So, if the class starts at 12 o'clock, you can't come at 12 o'clock. You have to come before 12 o'clock so that you can pray 2 rak'ah, and get yourself ready for the class. So being on time, being punctual is very important. And the third thing that I expect from you is participation. In order for you to benefit, it's important that you actually participate. Not that, yani, it's not sufficient that you just come and you be on time if you don't actually participate. And participation is from two angles. Number one, yani, participating during the exercises of the class. And number two, participating in the homework assignments after you leave the class. Yani, during the class, we expect everybody to participate. I'm not going to single anybody out and call on you if there's a question. I'm going to give you the option to raise your hand if you want to answer any question or do any particular exercise. But we do hope that everybody is going to participate in the class and that everybody will do the homework assignments. And by the way, yani, part of the homework assignment, yani, the general format for homework assignments with us is that you have to do two things. Number one, review the lesson that we completed that week, and you have to preview the lesson or lessons that we're going to take in the coming week. So the homework entails two parts: reviewing what we've covered and previewing what we expect to cover, yani, in the next session. And we also have a method of studying these lessons, which I may talk about today, or if not, then in the next week. If I don't have a chance to explain it in detail, I'll just say that there's a 5-point, mashallah, barakallahu feekum, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mashallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, mashallah. Yes, if I don't have a chance to explain it in detail, at this point, yani, as far as the homework assignments, it includes the methodology of studying these lessons, which we have what is called our 5-point system, and it requires that you read the lesson from the book, point one. Number two, that you write the lesson in your own notebook. You write it out by hand. Looking at the lesson, write it out. You have to write it. Number three, listening to the lesson. Point number three, listening to the lesson. That means somebody else reading it to you, in person, or on the telephone, or however, or listening to a recording. Yani, point number three is what? Listening to the lesson, hearing it. Because we want you to be able to identify what you see in order to read it. We want you to be able to write what you see in order to write. And we want you to be able to comprehend what you hear in order to understand the spoken language. The fourth, Well, I'll send it to you in writing, inshallah. Today, I might not be able to explain this methodology in detail, but I'm just giving you the idea, the outline of how it works, right? The first step is you have to read the lesson. If today, if we cover lesson number one, then in order to study this lesson, there are five things that I want you to do. The first thing, I want you to read the lesson. Open up the book and read it from beginning to end, at least one time. Yani, it's not going to be sufficient to read it one time, but at least one time. If you haven't read it one time, you haven't done anything. The second thing, I want you to write out the lesson. You have to have a notebook. Yani, preferably a notebook. If you have some scrap paper, fine. But preferably a notebook that you're going to keep all your lessons in. And I want you to write out the lesson, the whole lesson. If there are 10 words, write all 10 of them. If there are 50 words, you have to write 50 of them. The same way it is in the book, I want you to copy it in your notebook. The third step is to listen to it. Somebody read it to you. You have a study partner sitting with you. They're reading it. You're looking at the book, listening to them read. Hearing what you see. The fourth step is to read it again. This is the second reading, but this time you're going to read it from your notebook, not from the textbook. From your notebook that you wrote out, you have to read it again. And the fifth step includes step number two and three, that is writing and listening a second time. But this writing is going to be without looking at the book. It's going to be writing from listening to somebody read. Somebody's going to read to you, and you're going to write it out from what you hear. That's 5 points. Okay, the first step is reading it. Second step is writing it in your notebook. The third step is listening to somebody read the lesson. The fourth step is reading it again, but from your notebook, not from the textbook. And the last step is what is called imla, that is writing what you hear somebody reading. Writing out the lesson as you hear somebody reading it to you. Okay, this is the format that we're going to be using to study this lesson that I'm suggesting and advising you to follow, and I'll send it to you in writing, inshallah. I don't want to get stuck on that because we have a lot to cover today. I just want you to have an idea of one of the ways that has been developed to study these lessons that will help you tremendously. Yani, it means that you're going to read the lesson twice, you're going to write it twice, and you're going to listen to it twice. That makes six things, right? But the last step includes step two and three. So there are five steps. Read, write, listen, read again, and then the last step is writing what you hear somebody reading, writing and listening. Okay, in any case, I'll send it to you in writing, inshallah. Let's go on. That's far as the homework. You will be expected to do some work every day. And whatever assignment you have, you're expected to work on it every day. That means you're going to do some reading, or some writing, or some listening, or any combination of those things every day of the week. And there's no day off, right? And when I say every day, I don't mean 5 days a week like on your job. I mean 7 days a week. 15-20 minutes a day. Half an hour if possible. Now, pencils. If anybody needs a pencil, there's some paper also, right? Is there some paper that we left on the chair? Yellow paper, yes. If anybody needs some paper, there should be some paper here. I don't know. Huh? Oh, okay. Bring it out here so people can see it. If anybody needs a piece of paper, they can get it. Okay, so we expect you to do some work every day. If you can get in a half an hour in the course of a 24-hour day, in 24 hours you sleep about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 hours a day, you work about 8 or 9 or 10 hours a day, and I don't want to say what else anybody's doing, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm sure there's a lot of more hours left, right? That's only 16 hours, so there's a lot more hours left that you're doing something with. I don't know what you're doing with it, hopefully you're doing something good with it. During the course of those remaining hours, all we're asking for is a half an hour. 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, or 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes in the evening, however you want to do it, or half an hour at one time, whatever is best for you, at a time when you are not tired, and you're not sleepy, and you're not occupied with something else that's important to you, and you're not distracted. Not distracted. That's the time that we want is some quality time. Every day, half an hour, if you do that, inshallah, we have only 53 lessons. We hope to be able to cover at least two, maybe three lessons in every session. Hopefully, inshallah, at least two, if not three. The lessons are relatively brief. Any one of these lessons can be covered in 10 or 15 minutes easily. So it's not going to be a tremendous task. It's something that if you're consistent and you're persistent and you have a sincere intention and you're diligent and you ask Allah's help, inshallah, you'll be able to do it without any great difficulty. Anybody who has never studied Arabic before, if they complete these 53 lessons, inshallah, they will have a strong foundation upon which they will be able to read, they will be able to write, and they will be able to open up the Mus'haf and read from the Mus'haf, read Quran, with maybe some difficulty. Depends on the level of proficiency you have achieved by the end. But in any case, we have done this course in this masjid a few years ago, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, about 5 years ago. And the people who completed it, mashallah, even those who never studied Arabic before, they don't know one letter of the alphabet, mashallah, in the end, they're able to actually read. This course is designed to enable you to read from the Arabic language. Now, of course, understanding and comprehending whatever you read requires two things. That is, knowing the meanings of words, vocabulary, and knowing something about the Arabic grammar, the structure of the language. You have to know those two things. That's not in this level. The meaning of words and grammar is in the next level, in Medina Book 1. But in any case, at the end of this course, you should be able to read well. The last thing that I expect from you is that you cooperate with one another. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to cooperate with one another in piety and righteousness. And do not cooperate with one another in sin and transgression. Do not cooperate with one another in sin and transgression. Somebody wants to scheme against somebody, steal something from somebody, slander somebody, backbite somebody, don't cooperate in that. Allah prohibited us from doing so. But He has commanded us to cooperate in piety and righteousness. That means, doing good deeds, worshipping Allah, learning the deen of Allah. This is something that is, we are commanded to cooperate with one another upon, and that means that you visit one another, or you call, use the telephone for something productive, and you visit one another, or you call, or you make some arrangement to help one another to get through these lessons. Inshallah, I do expect that you will cooperate with one another. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, I don't know what you expect from me, but you also have a right. Since I expect all of this from you, you have a right to expect something from me too. Before you tell me what you expect from me, let me just tell you what I'm offering. I'm offering, inshallah, to be here regularly, every week. Even if it rains, even if it snows, I'm going to be here. Whether you come or not, I have no control over that. I'm going to be here, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, unless Allah decrees something that prevents me, that I don't have the ability to be here. Even if I'm sick, I'm going to be here. Don't worry. Even if it's snowing, I'm going to be here, inshallah. Don't worry. Okay? I'm going to be on time, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We start at 12 o'clock, inshallah. I'm going to be here on time. I'm going to be here on time, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And I'm going to do my homework. The same way I ask you to do homework, I'm going to do homework. That is, means I'm going to prepare for every lesson. Even though I've taught these lessons 101 times, but I'm going to prepare for every lesson. I'm going to come prepared to teach the lesson. We are all human beings. So I may fall short, you may fall short. But the point is, we're going to do the best that we can. I expect you to do the best you can. Wherever you fall short, I'm going to excuse it. And I'm going to do the best I can. I hope if I fall short, and in some way, due to human deficiency, subhanAllah, Allah is the only one who is perfect, right? So we're all human beings, and we're subject to fall short in some area. I hope you will also be pardoning and forgiving. Okay, this is what you can expect from me. Is there anything that anybody wants to say in terms of what you are looking for, or what you're hoping for, or what you expect from this class? You have a chance now to state something. Yes, you have something?
I just want to ask...
What's your name, brother?
Abdul Subur.
Please, everybody who is new here, who I don't know, previously I didn't know your name, help me to learn your name. It may take a few sessions, but I'm going to be trying. Abdul Subur, now. Abu Muhammad.
Abu,
the father of Muhammad. My oldest son is Muhammad. Abu Muhammad, okay? That's easy, right? Okay, anybody else? Anybody have anything?
Oh.
And we're going to get started. Now I'm Hassan. The lectures, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, are going to be broadcast live on Mixlr. If you go to our website, islamlecture.com, if you go to our website, on the top of the home page, you'll see right up there a box that has Mixlr. If the class is going like it is right now, if you open our website right now, you can just click on that box on the top of the home page and you'll get the live broadcast. But for you, here in New York, we expect you to be here, not on Mixlr. We expect you to be here in the masjid. In Georgia? Yeah, if you're in Georgia, we only expect you to come here for the class. You get a pass for that week. You can listen to it live on Mixlr. That's how somebody pronounced it. I don't know. Mixlr. We did have a problem in the past when their website went down and we weren't able to broadcast. We have no control over that. Yani, if you're not here and you're somewhere else, we're going to do the best we can to make sure that it's broadcast live. But if their website goes down or something, some technical problem we have no control over, there's not much we can do with that. Inshallah, the classes are recorded, so it's possible to find the recording, and even if you mix it live. Now, Islam. Anybody else want to say anything before we actually go into what we want to do for today? Okay, that's our introduction. Khatib, barakallahu feekum, wa shafakallah. Shafakallah. MashaAllah, Khatib was in the hospital a few days ago, now, mashaAllah, he's all the way from the Bronx sitting in the masjid. MashaAllah. The recordings, inshallah, we're requesting our brothers who deal with the website, we're requesting them to upload the class every week on a weekly basis, maybe a couple of days, because the recording that we're using is a very high quality recording, so it's a big audio file, very, very large, okay? And it's not practical to upload that or download it. So they will receive it. And then they will do some work on it to make it a smaller file that's easy for anybody to download. And then they'll put it on the website, inshallah. So it may come after 1 or 2 days. It'll be on the website. And it'll also be on the Mixlr. Because we record on Mixlr also. So they have an audio recording of the file. If you open up Mixlr to our our page on Mixlr, you'll find the recordings from during the week, from Friday and all the classes from Sunday. And by the way, we have 4 Arabic classes every Sunday. And this class starts at 12 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, we have Medina Book 1. At 3 o'clock, we have Medina Book 2. And at 4 o'clock, we have Level 3, Medina, Level 3, Fiqh. Medina, Level 3, Fiqh. And right now, in the Fiqh class, we're dealing with Kitab As-Siyam. Now. I don't mind that you use your cell phone, a tape recorder, whatever you want to use to record the class, the audio of the class. But we don't allow pictures. Do not take a picture. Don't make any picture, photograph, live streaming broadcast of what's going on here. A picture, we don't take pictures. We don't allow pictures. Audio, you can record it, no problem. But the picture, don't take a picture, please. And we would appreciate that you cooperate with that us on that. We don't do that. Alright? And I'm very, very clear on this particular matter. I don't appreciate anybody taking a picture. If you want to take a photograph of the board itself without anybody in the picture, no problem. You can do that. But when you do it, make sure nobody's standing in front of the board. Now.
So you start from the beginning of Medina Book 1?
Medina Book 1 is the next level. Today we're starting from Let's Begin to Read Arabic. Here it is right here. This book. Let's Begin to Read Arabic. This is what we're starting with today. The first lesson, there are 53 lessons, and we're starting with this first lesson today.
Where do we get the books from?
Where do you get the books from? Allahumma musta'an. You can get the book. Yeah, Dar es Salaam has the book for $10, and there are a couple of copies left here, but actually we had copies for the last 3 weeks. We have been distributing them during our Sunday classes. And we sent out a notice to everybody who registered that if you wanted us to pick up a copy for you, then we did pick up some copies for people who requested that we reserve a copy for them. We did pick up some copies. We have a few copies here, but they were reserved by people who reserved them. Naam, Abdul Haq, come here. What's your name, brother?
Abdul
Sabur. Abdul Sabur, mashallah, mashallah. Okay. These are two copies here. If this brother wants to take one, he has first choice. And then anybody else who wants, you can take outside, inshallah. Abdul Sabur. You can talk to him, inshallah. Outside. Go outside for me. Rafiq? Now.
I was at the bookstore today and I spoke to the owner. So they actually want me to be
Dar es Salaam has copies of the book. Right now they do have copies. Actually, we have purchased from them 35 copies, but we distributed them during the classes for the last few weeks. People who wanted to join the class, they took them. So this is the end of what we had left. And they do have copies at Dar es Salaam. And if somebody doesn't have a copy, if you don't have a copy, then inshallah we'll try to help you and to facilitate the affair. Today, just sit in with somebody and look at. This is what we're going to cut. The first lesson, this is what it entails. That's what it entails, the first lesson. So the first lesson is already on the board. But before the first lesson, we're going to review the notes that we sent out to the registered students over the past 3 weeks. For the past 3 weeks, we have been sending out notes to prepare you for this course. Naam. What is your name, brother?
Mustafa.
I forgot, I'm sorry. It's been a long time, I think. Mustafa, now.
Yeah.
Help me though, help me, because my memory is it's worn out. It's worn out.
Alameen.
Huh?
Alameen.
Yeah. Oh, through Alameen, yeah. Yeah, I knew your face, but I just couldn't remember the name now.
I got the email. Mm-hmm. I tried to register. And I was like, how do you register?
Register, the only thing you had to do was send us your name and email address. No problem. Anyway, does anybody have a registration? Okay, Abdul Haq, when he comes back, he'll give you one. Just put your name in there. Print your name clearly, and print clearly your email address. We'll put you in the class. Whatever notes, anything that we send out, you'll get it immediately starting today, inshallah. Okay. By the end of the day today. Anybody who didn't register before now, please take one of these small slips from Abdul Haq. Abdul Haq, you have some registration slips? Abdul Haq, do you have some registration slips? You have some. So whoever didn't register, please take one of those slips before you leave today. Print your name, first and last name. Print in English. And print your email address, numbers, letters, everything clear. Okay, because if you give me an email address I can't read, you know, I'm going to not be able to work with it. Now, yes, the sisters also, they have. Tayyip. We have an attendance clip also. We have an attendance sheet. You have it, attendance sheet? If anybody didn't sign when you came in the door, please put your name and your email address if we don't have it. If we have your email address, we don't have to give it to me again. But please put your name on the attendance sheet. Everybody who's here for the class today, we hope that you'll put your name on the attendance sheet. Okay? Okay, that's it. Let's try to get into what we wanted to cover for today. And for those who have registered, I did send out, like I said, Introduction to the Arabic Alphabet, Parts 1, 2, and 3. So there were three sets of notes that were sent out. And also, finally, we sent out Arabic Alphabet Chart, a chart of the letters of the alphabet in their independent form, and Arabic Alphabet Forms, meaning how each letter is written, when it is alone, or when it is in the beginning of a word, or the middle of a word, or the end of a word. All this information was sent out. Anybody who registers with us today will send it to you, inshallah, tonight or tomorrow. Today is our first day, and I'm hoping that everyone who is here with us or online, I'm hoping that if you have never studied Arabic before, that you are dedicated and you are going to be diligent. And if you work hard, inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you success in completing this course, from the beginning to the end, and in benefiting from it, and being able to open up the Mus'haf and read it in the end, bi'iznihi ta'ala. Okay, what I want to read to you now is the preface to the book, Let's Begin to Read Arabic. I want to read to you the preface, written by the author, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim. This preface tells you something about the way the book was written and why it was written in the manner that it's written in. In its unconventional manner, method, fashion. Walaykum salam. It's good that you understand this. If you understand this, it will help you to benefit more from the book. And before we go in any further, I just want to make sure that everybody, understands this. What the author has intended here. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He says, all praise is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his household, his family, and his companions. This book does not follow the conventional approach to teaching the Arabic alphabet. It does not follow the conventional approach. It doesn't begin with Aleph, and then Ba, and then Ta, and then Tha. It doesn't follow this approach. And by the way, Dr. Abdul Rahim, Allah yahfadhu, may Allah protect and preserve him, is well qualified to abandon the traditional approach, conventional approach. He's well qualified to do so. He's the founder of the Arabic Language Institute at the Islamic University of Medina, and has taught Arabic at the Islamic University of Medina, supervising the Arabic Institute for non-Arabic speaking students, and at the same time a professor, full professor of Arabic language in the university, in the college level. He is a full professor who teaches Arabic to Arabic people, to Arabic college students at the Islamic University of Medina. Now, I think he's retired now. He's working at the Mujamma Malik Fahd, the printing press where they print the Quran in Medina. But in any case, he's the founder of this Arabic Institute, Islamic University of Medina, a teacher there, a supervisor of that institute, and a full professor of Arabic language, teaching the university level Arab students in the Islamic University of Medina Arabic. And he's a linguist, a fluent person, fluent in multiple languages, all the major languages of the world. Fluent. So he's well and qualified to come up with a approach of teaching Arabic language that may be a little different than the conventional approach. Okay, so he says here, this book does not follow the conventional approach to teaching the Arabic alphabet. This unconventional approach is based upon the following factors. Yani his methodology of teaching the Arabic alphabet, he's saying, what is the basis of it? How did I come up with this idea? Why am I doing it in a different way? Number one, to benefit from sounds common to Arabic and English. Meaning, Arabic sounds in relation to those of English fall into three categories. The sounds in Arabic in relation to English fall into three categories. Identical, similar, and totally different. Meaning, there are some sounds in Arabic that are identical to English. There are some which are not identical, but they are similar. And there are some which are totally different. So keeping in mind this, obviously, the practical way to approach it would be to start with the sounds that are the same as in English, which will be easy for people to learn them. And then those which are similar, which are also relatively easy. And finally, those which are completely different, that we're not familiar with, that he saved for last. Okay, so by the time you get to those completely different sounds, you will already have some foundation in the language and how to learn and how to study. And this is the first point that he makes concerning why he is using this unconventional approach, meaning he's starting with the sounds, the letters that have sounds that are the same as in English or that are similar and close to English before going to those which are totally different. In this book, the identical sounds have been presented first, followed by the similar sounds, and lastly by the totally different sounds. That's the first point. Second point, we have chosen to commence the book with the letter Mim, the M, for two reasons. We didn't begin with Aleph or Ba or Ta, but we began with Mim for two reasons. Number one, it is the easiest speech sound. So that should be good news for anybody who is having some fear, can I really do this or not? Guess what? We're going to start with the easiest sound. And you will find that it is quite easy. No difficulty whatsoever. Secondly, this letter Mim, it helps build quite a few words at the initial stage. Meaning that it's one of the most commonly, frequently found letters in the Arabic language. In words in Arabic, the most frequently found letter is going to be Mim. You're going to see it all the time, everywhere. And therefore, with this letter, it's possible to make, in the beginning stages, a number of actual Arabic words. Okay, the next point that he says here, the letters in this format that we are using, the letters are presented along with the vowel signs from the very beginning. We're going to start with letters of the alphabet with all of the vowel signs. Three vowel signs. We know that in Arabic, there are three vowel sounds. Three short and three long. Okay, the short vowel sounds can be elongated in the length of their sound. It's not a completely different sound, it's just elongation. So there are actually three vowel sounds. Short, they may be pronounced in a short manner or in an elongated form. The letters are presented along with the vowel signs from the very beginning. The student learns the sounds of the letters rather than their names. We're not going to concentrate on the names of the letters. Sure, learn the names of the letters. The name of the first letter of the alphabet is Aleph. And then there's Ba and Ta and Tha. But in order to read, you don't have to know the name of the letter. You have to know the sound of the letter. Okay, so when you read the word, for example, in English, boy, you don't read it by knowing that the first letter, the name of it is B. Because you're not going to pronounce a sound of B. You're not going to say the name of the letter B when you read the word. But you're going to what? Pronounce the sound of the letter. Okay, ba, like this. You're going to pronounce the sound of the letter. So what we are concentrating on here, we're concentrating on learning the sounds of the letters, not so much their names. So the student will learn the sounds of the letters, first and foremost, more importantly than their names. Second thing, each lesson contains only one new element. One new element, meaning a consonant, a vowel, a phonetic rule, or a spelling rule. Yani each lesson is going to deal with one new element. Either it's going to be a letter, a consonant, or there's going to be a vowel, or there's going to be a spelling rule, or a phonetic rule. Yani a rule concerning how we spell words in Arabic, or how we pronounce words in Arabic. So everything that we learn new is going to have its own lesson, one lesson to deal with that thing new. Second thing, or next point, at the very outset, the student is made to read real words. Yani, early on, in the beginning lessons, there will be actually, for the most part, there will mostly, yani today, for today, because we only have one letter, these are not going to be words, right? It's just going to be the letter M, meme. But as we go on and we get two or three letters, we'll find that in the exercises for each new letter or each new element, we'll find that the exercises contain actual real words in Arabic. We are not expected to learn the meaning of these words, but the point is that from the very beginning, inshallah, you'll be actually learning Arabic words. Next point, which is very important, next to last point, the words used in the exercises contain only letters or signs, etc., which have already been introduced, so the student can read all the words by himself or by herself. Yani meaning that the words in every lesson will only contain elements that you have already learned in the previous lessons. Yani meaning when we go to the second lesson, which is going to be with the letter Noon, for example, all the exercises in that lesson will only contain Noon or what we learned before that, Meme. When we get to the letter Lam, all the exercises will only contain the letter Lam and what letters we have learned before. Yani, Meme and Noon and other elements like Sukoon. So you will not find in any exercise a word that you can't read because there's a letter or something there that we didn't study yet. Rather, each lesson is based upon the previous lessons. There will be nothing in a lesson. In lesson 5, there will be nothing in there except what we already learned in lesson 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and what's new in lesson 5. So in every lesson, you should be able to read every word in every exercise without any difficulty if you learned the previous lesson well. Last point, the student is advised to learn every lesson thoroughly before passing on to the next lesson. He or she should try to read every word and then check it by listening to the tape. Actually, I don't have a tape. I don't have a tape of the book. But in any case, yani, like I said, huh? Can you get a tape? Yeah, we'll get a tape, inshallah. With the help of Allah. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't actually seen a tape for the book. But there must be a tape, right? So if somebody finds it, let us know so we can share it with everyone. Inshallah. Otherwise, we'll make a tape. No problem. So the point here is what? The student is advised to learn every lesson thoroughly before passing on to the next lesson, reading every word and checking it. Yani with the tape or checking it with somebody who is your study partner who's going to help you, yani by telephone or in person or whatever. Before going on to the next lesson, you have to learn the previous lesson thoroughly. Learn it well. Because if you didn't learn it well, when you go to the next lesson and you learn a new element, a new letter, or a new vowel, a short vowel, or a long vowel, or a diphthong, or a shadda, or sukoon, when you go on and learn something new and you didn't learn the previous element well, now it's going to be twice as hard. Because now you're trying to learn something new and you're still trying to learn what you didn't learn from the last lesson. In order to help you to learn the lesson well, to cover it thoroughly before you go on to the next lesson, we have developed the 5-point system, which I mentioned in the beginning of the class. And those of you who came late, you missed it. Hopefully you'll catch it the next time we explain it. Okay? I want to ask how many people came late that missed it, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to make people uncomfortable. But it appears as though from the number of brothers that I see in front of me, a lot of people came late. Because when we started, I think there were only about 15 people here. And now it's more than twice as many. So, Allahu Musta'an. In any case, look, it's possible that any one of us may be late due to something we have no control over. That's possible. And maybe you're coming from the Bronx like Khatib did. Maybe you're coming all the way from the Bronx and the trains are not running on time. Generally speaking, the buses and trains are not running on time on the weekends. So you can expect that. So if you anticipate that, if it normally takes you an hour to get here by train from the Bronx, so you have to leave an hour and 15 to 20 minutes early to make up for the time you're going to lose with the bad service on the, what do they call that? The MTA. Alright? If you know that it normally takes you a half an hour to walk here, that's how long it takes for me from walk from my house to here, then maybe one day you might be tired and you can't walk at that pace, so you leave 40 minutes, 45 minutes early. If you know that the class starts at 12 noon, and that's our intent, and you know that the class is in the masjid, and you have to pray 2 rak'ah when you enter the masjid, then you can't get here at 12 o'clock. I hope it's clear. Okay.
Tayyib, Allahu musta'an.
Okay.
Before we do the first lesson, okay, I'm going to mention just a couple of things here quickly from what the Sheikh Abdurrahim has mentioned in the introduction to the book. I'm just going to mention a little bit of what he said here. I'm not going to go through it word for word, but everybody needs to get a copy of this book, one way or another. And
No. Inshallah, we will. But
it is essential to have a copy of the book. And it's essential to have a notebook to write in. Okay, what I'm going to do here, before I go on, I'm just going to read quickly to you the 5-point format for studying these lessons. And I hope that it will be clear from what I have read. Inshallah, I'll send it to you by email tonight or tomorrow so that you can review it. There are 5 recommended steps to help you master the lesson. Number 1, the first step is reading. The second step is writing. The third step is listening. The fourth step is reading again. And the fifth step is a combination of writing and listening again. 5 steps, okay? Let me explain. Step number 1, read the lesson in an audible voice to someone else or alone if you cannot find a study partner. Read the lesson out loud, not just looking at the words and thinking what they sound like in your mind. Saying the words, saying ma, mi, mu, in an audible voice, reading to somebody who's following with the book, or if you can't find anybody to read to, then read to yourself. But you have to read out loud. In the same way, if you are memorizing Quran, you have to recite it audibly. You have to say the words. You have to practice saying the words audibly, not just looking at the pages in your mind. But you have to audibly, say the words. First one, reading. Second step, write. Write out each of the exercises from the lesson, from the book, in a separate exercise notebook. Yani, in your notebook, you open up the textbook and write the lesson out by hand in your notebook. The whole lesson. If it's 10 words, all 10 words. If it's 20 or 50 words, write the whole lesson out in your notebook. Now, every day you should be doing something. 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. Every day you can either read, or you can write, or you can listen, or you can do all of them in one day. You can go through the whole lesson with these 5 steps every day. By the end of the week, at least you have been through the lesson 5 or 6 times before you come back for the next lesson or 2. Because we're going to try to take 2 lessons in every session. If possible, maybe 3. It depends on the lessons, how they come back to back, which ones can go with another one easily without any difficulty. But we do hope to take at least 2 lessons in each session. Today we'll only take 1 because of all this introduction. Okay, today we're just going to take 1 easy lesson just so you get the feel of it, and then next week come ready to do a little more work. First step is reading. Second step is writing in your notebook. Write out the lesson. Third step is listen to someone else reading the book to you while you follow by looking at the textbook.
meaning your study partner, your spouse, your children, whoever it might be, your parents, yani, open up the book, and they're going to read while you listen, looking at the book. You're going to listen so you can see what you are hearing them say. Listening. Reading, writing, listening, all of these use different faculties of learning, and you need to use all of them. Number four, read the lesson again, but this time from your own handwriting, from what you have copied in your exercise notebook. Yani, the fourth step is for you to read the lesson, but this time instead of from the textbook, you're going to read it from your notebook, what you have written out in your own handwriting. And the fifth step is a combination of step two and three. That is, you're going to write what you hear without looking at the book while you listen to someone else read to you. This is called imla, dictation. Yani, the fifth step is you're going to write without looking at the book what you hear somebody reading to you. You're going to write what you hear without looking at the book. And the first time you wrote it, looking at the book. This time you're going to write just listening to somebody else read to you. Repeat this process as many times as possible during the week. And may Allah, the Most High, grant us success. Ameen. Okay, this is the format that we are suggesting that you use. And we hope that, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, you find any success with it. Okay, we are going to now, yani, look at the introductory comments of the Shaykh, his introduction on page 5 and 6 and 7, and I'm not going to read it maybe verbatim, but I'm going to just try to go through it. I'm sorry, we already read page 4, yes, so we're going to start on page 5. I'm just going to try to go through it quickly, and you know, you should have the book. If you don't have it yet, you need to get it as soon as possible. The brother told us, Abdul Salam said he was at Dar es Salaam today. They do have copies of the book available for $10. Okay, introduction on page 5. It says Arabic is written from right to left. This is the first thing that you need to know about the Arabic language. By the way, before we go any further, let me just see by show of hands from the brothers. And the sisters may also see. Yani, we have sisters back there, mashallah, who will be yani monitoring the sisters' activity, and they will be able to help the sisters because we have advanced students, mashallah, who are very advanced in Arabic language. We want to know how many people are actually studying this alphabet for the first time. They don't know the alphabet. Do not know the alphabet. That's all? That's only, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, only 7, 8, mashallah. Everybody else already knows the alphabet? Oh, mashallah. Okay, so the people, let me know your name. What's your name?
Omar.
Omar. Who else? Abdullah?
Jamal Rashid.
Jamal?
Jamal Rashid.
Rashid.
Jidai.
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 Somebody help me.
Suleiman.
Suleiman. Anybody else? I know Abdulaziz. Don't do that. No. Huh?
Perfect.
Help me, because it's the fans. Rafiq? Rafiq. Okay, so listen. Huh? You gotta remember them. Okay, somebody, if you studied it before, but maybe you don't remember them that well also, you can be included here. That is, these are the people who have priority and preference in reading the exercises and answering questions. The people who don't know the alphabet, they're going to be the people that have the first option to read or to answer any questions, because we want to attend to those who are doing it for the first time. As far as everybody else who might already know the alphabets or might yani be familiar with them, may just want to brush up or review or something like that, we're not saying you're not going to participate, but we're going to give priority to the other people first, okay? And the reason for that is because we want to make sure that the people who are learning this for the first time, that they get a chance to practice during the class. Because yani, after the class is over, you're going to go home and not going to see you again, inshallah, for another week. So we're going to make sure that they get a chance to practice. After that, after those people have priority, then everybody else also is expected to participate. Okay, again, Omar, Abdullahi,
Jamal,
Salahuddin, Suleiman, Rafiq,
Judei.
Okay, what is your name, brother?
Abdul
Sabur. Okay. Sit down. What is your name, brother? Suleiman too? Jamil, right? I know like some of your names. But if I forget your name, don't get upset, huh? Because sometimes the computer is running slow. Okay, alhamdulillah, we still have a few moments remaining. Inshallah, let's just look at his introduction on page 5. Arabic is written from right to left. This is the first thing you need to know. Arabic is written from right to left. When you write a word, don't start writing on the left side and go the other way. You have to start on the right side. In other words, some people, when they want to copy a word in Arabic, if they want to copy this word, they're going to try to do it like this. They're going to try to take this letter first, and then they're going to go this way, and go this way. No, we don't go this way. We go from right to left. Okay, so just try to keep that in mind. That's the way we're going to read it. That's the way we're going to write it. We're going to start from the right side, and we're going to write the letter that's on the far right, and then we're going to go to the next letter, going from right to left. The Arabic alphabet consists of 28 letters, or 29. 28 letters, or 29. Meaning that there are 28 consonants in the Arabic language, and there's one letter that's not a consonant, that's Aleph, making 29 letters. Of these 25 or consonants, one is a long vowel, meaning Aleph, it's not a consonant, it's just a long vowel, and two serve as long vowels as well as consonants. There are two letters that serve as long vowels as well as consonants. That those two letters are what? Anybody? Wow and Ya. Okay? So Wow and Ya, they're used for long vowels, but they're also consonants. Aleph is not a consonant. Okay? Aleph is a letter of the Arabic language. It is not a consonant. The letter that represents a long vowel is named Aleph. And it also represents a yani long A sound. Yani when it's following fatha. The letters which represent long vowels as well as consonants are waw, which represents the long U sound, O, and it also represents the consonant W, as in wet, and Ya represents the long vowel I or E sound, and the consonant Y, as in U and Yes. Okay, so what are we saying here? We're saying that there are 29 letters in the Arabic alphabet, 28 of them are consonants, one is not a consonant, that's Aleph. Two of them are used for consonants and long vowels, that's Wow and Ya. The rest of them are just consonants. Letters are connected to each other in writing. There are six letters that are connected to the letters on the right side only. These are Aleph, Del, Thel, Ra, Zay, and Wow. Yani, normally, in Arabic, when you write a word, all the letters of one word are going to be connected like this. Like in English script, right? We're not going to find words where you write, like in English, if you want to write a word, you can write it as individual letters. We don't have that in Arabic. The only time you're going to see that, where a word may be written, composed of three or four or five letters, and they're not connected, that's only going to happen if the letters in that word are all non-connectors. There are six letters in the Arabic alphabet that are non-connectors. They cannot be connected to anything following them. They can only be connected to something that precedes them, if the letter before them is not a non-connector also. Okay, so the only time we're going to see these letters of a word written separately, if the word is composed of non-connecting letters. Those six letters that we mentioned already. Aleph, and Waw, and Dal, and Vel, and Ra, and Zay. Consequently, these letters among themselves remain unconnected, these six letters, as demonstrated in the following examples. Warada, yani Waw, Ra, and Dal are all non-connectors. Azuru, Hamza, yani that's written on top of the Aleph, which Aleph is a non-connector. The letter Zay, Waw, and Ra are all non-connectors. In the last example, Zada, the letter Zay, and the letter Aleph, which is elongating the Fatha, and the letter Del are all non-connectors. Only if the letters of a word are all non-connectors, we're going to see the letters of a word not connected. Otherwise, we should always connect the letters of a word. As the letters are connected to each other, each letter has at least three forms: initial, medial, and final. Some letters have a fourth form, which is the independent form. That is the form of the letter when it is not connected to anything. In most cases, these different forms are similar and vary, vary, very little. However, in a few letters, these forms do vary to a certain extent. What are we saying here? That every letter of the alphabet, when you look at the letters of the alphabet, you'll see that they have an independent form, how they're written when they're not connected. And they also have other forms. Yani a form when they are in a word and they are the initial letter of the word, yani it's written one way, right? Like for example, this meem in the beginning, this is how it looks, something like this, right? In the beginning, yani this is the letter meem, for example. When it's in the beginning of a word, this part is going to be cut off, the tail, and we're just going to have the basic form of the letter with a connector that connects to what follows it. If it's in the middle, it's going to look a little different because what? It's going to have a connector on the beginning of it to what's before it, and a connector on the end of it to what's coming after it. And if it's on the end, it's going to have one connector to whatever is before it. So we see the basic form of the letter is the same, except that it has a connector to what's following it, or a connector to what's before it, or a connector to what's before it and after it. Okay, so what he's saying here is that even though a letter may have some variation in its form from the beginning form to the middle form to the end form, basically the form of the letter is going to be the same. For most letters, the basic form is going to remain. It's going to be modified slightly to connect to what follows it, or to connect to what's before it, or to connect to something on both sides of it. Otherwise, the basic form is going to remain the same. Slight modification. However, there are a few letters in the Arabic alphabet that from the beginning to middle to ending form actually look a little different than their initial form. Yani their form actually has some real variation. It changes a little bit. It doesn't stick to the basic form. There are a few letters like that. But for the most part, we're going to see that the way it looks when it's written by itself, it's going to look the same way in the beginning, in the middle, or in the end, just being modified to connect to what's following it, or what precedes it, or the letters that are on both sides of it. Okay, all of this that we're saying here now is what we're going to be studying in this book, right? Meaning that whatever I'm saying to you now, this is just introduction to what we're going to be taking in this book. So we're going to see all of this. We're going to see non-connectors, we're going to see connectors, we're going to see every letter in its different forms. When we take one letter at a time, we're going to see how it's modified for the initial form, for the medial form, and for the final form. We're going to see that for each letter, one letter at a time, right? Because every lesson only deals with one element, a consonant, a vowel, or some other reading or writing symbol. Yani the symbol that a consonant has no vowel, or yani that a consonant is doubled, and so on. Each one of these new things we're going to take in a separate lesson, one by one. Okay, he says also on the bottom of page 5, in this book, the independent form is given first, followed by the other forms. On a computer keyboard that has an Arabic layout, only the independent form is seen on the keys. But as one types away, the computer automatically chooses the correct form of the letter according to its position. Yani the computer will give you the form that you need as you are typing automatically. Short vowels in Arabic are represented by signs placed above or below the letters. These signs are three signs: the fatha, the kasra, and the dhamma. Okay, inshallah, we're going to take about 10 more minutes to finish reading this and take the first lesson, and then we're going to break. Okay, I'm reading from page 6. I'm reading from page 6. Yani on the bottom of page 5 it said, short vowels in Arabic are represented by signs placed above or below the letters. These signs are, and then they mention number 1, the fatha, number 2, the kasra, number 3, the dhamma, and then number 4, the sukoon, and number 5, the shadda. Okay, so these are very important things that we're going to see. Above and below, they mean by that, for example, a sign may be written above the letter, like the dhamma, oo sound, or it may be written below, like the kasra, e sound, or it may be written above also, like fatha, a, e, oo. Okay, these two signs, the fatha written above and the kasra written below, look the same. So what you have to do today, if you're learning this for the first time, you have to make sure that you keep in your forefront of your mind that if you see this stroke above the letter, that's a. If you see it below, it's e. A, e. You have to keep that in mind. This one looks completely different, so no problem. It's u. Okay? But you have to distinguish between a and E. Yani fatha and kasra. That's all you have to do today with the letter meme. That's what we're going to do in the lesson for today. Okay, these are the signs of the vowels, the short vowel signs. Okay, the first sign is fatha. It represents the A sound. The underneath, the sign of kasra is E sound. The other, the third one, dhamma, O sound. And then there's sukoon. I want to look at sukoon a little bit. It looks like a circle here. Sometimes in the mushaf, it may look like a small, yani the letter ha, yani the top of it, it may look like that. Instead of this circle for sukoon that we're going to see in the elementary, yani learning books. We probably in the mushaf, we're going to see a different kind of symbol. Sometimes it may even look like a dhamma, by the way. It may also, sometimes the sukoon looks like a dhamma, but it's closed in. It's not open like the regular dhamma. Okay, so the sukoon, what is the sukoon? In this book, it's going to be a circle. What do we mean by sukoon? It means the absence of a vowel sign. This sign is called sukoon. It represents the absence of a vowel sound. Okay, it means that consonant doesn't have a vowel with it. Yani if it was, for example, mim, if it has a fatha, you're going to say ma. If it has kasra, you're going to say mi. If it has dhamma, you're going to say mu. But if it has sukoon, how are you going to pronounce it? You can't pronounce it without yani a vowel, unless it's connected to another letter that has a vowel, and then the letter with sukoon may follow it and join it as one syllable. Okay, we're going to see that inshallah in the next lesson, or in the third lesson. Because sukoon is in lesson 3. So next week inshallah we'll see sukoon, and we'll study sukoon after taking the letter noon. Today we're going to do meem. Next week we're going to do noon, and we're going to do sukoon. And we're going to talk about that in more detail. The fifth point is on page 6, that what looks like a little W, a W. And it means, this W, it means that we're going to double the consonant. The little W on the top means double the consonant. Okay, so if it's written on top of a meme, it means instead of one M, we're going to have two M's. Okay? It indicates the doubling of a consonant. And then they also said on page 7, if the kesra and the shadda appear together, the kesra is written below the shadda. Meaning if you have a letter, like meme with shadda, the kesra is normally written underneath the letter. But if you have a shadda, instead of writing the kesra under the letter, you can also just write it underneath the shadda. And the same thing with hamza, and we'll talk about that when we come to the lesson dealing with shadda. I'm just going through what he said here just to give you an idea of what we're going to be covering in the coming lessons. When the fatha, kasra and dhamma are doubled at the end of a word, an N sound is added to the pronunciation of these words. That means, for example, at the end of a word only, sometimes we might see that this vowel, the dhamma sound, it may be doubled. You may have two of them. Or the kasra sound may be doubled, two of them. Or the fatha may be doubled. That means, instead of pronouncing it you, you're going to pronounce it you, n, as though there's an n there. Instead of this being a, it's going to be an. And this, instead of two kasras, instead of you saying it's I, no, it's going to be I, n. Meaning, whatever vowel is doubled at the end of a word, it means that you're going to pronounce that vowel, dhamma, kasra, or fatha, as though there's a noon, an N written with it. So you're going to pronounce it A-N, I-N, or U-N. Okay, this is also going to be a separate lesson dealing with tanween. Rather, each type of tanween, two fatha, two kasra, two dhamma, each is going to be in a separate lesson. Each of them are going to be in a separate lesson. And we're going to learn something of the details about the fathatain in the end of this book. We'll come to that. Note that in the case of the double fatha, here he says, an aleph is also added. We're going to talk about that in detail in the last 10 lessons. It is, however, not pronounced. Yani, it's not pronounced if we continue reading, but if we stop on it, then we will pronounce it. And this is something that we'll take in the end of the book, not to be worried about for now. Also note that double dhamma is written like this. Yani, in other words, there's another way that the double dhamma, yani two dhammas, instead of writing it like this, it may be written like this also. Okay, so these are just any things that you may see here and there, just to be aware of. When we come to them, inshallah, we'll point them out. This is what the Sheikh Allah Fadahu has written. This is what he has given us as the introduction to the Arabic alphabet. I have also prepared some notes on this introduction to the Arabic alphabet, which I sent to the pre-registered students. And for the last 3 weeks, every week we sent some notes. So there were three sets of notes over the last few weeks for those who are registered early. Those who registered today, inshallah, will send them to you tonight or tomorrow morning, so that you can also see those notes, which basically covers what we read here from the author's introduction, but maybe in a little bit more detailed fashion. So those notes are important. We also sent to the class an Arabic alphabet chart of every letter of the alphabet, including the Hamza when it's written by itself, when it's written on Aleph or Waw or Ya and so on, and Lam Aleph, which is a combination of two letters, Lam and Aleph, and Ta Marbuta, which is another special letter in the Arabic alphabet. All of this we're going to cover separately, point by point, as we go through this course. Today, inshallah, we're just giving you the outline. In the minutes that remaining, inshallah, we want to cover the first lesson. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you, if you have a book, to open up the book to the first lesson, which is on page 9. Okay, there's a line of letters of the letter Mim on the top of the lesson 1, and then there are two lines underneath it which are marked line 1 and line 2. So if you don't have a book, this is what the book looks like. There's the letter Mim. This letter represents the letter M. The name of it is Mim. The sound of it is like a M in English, just like M in English. Okay, if it has a slash on top of it, that's the sign of A sound. That means it should be pronounced M-A or Ma. If it has this line underneath it, that means it should be pronounced M-I sound, Me. If it has this sign, the sign of Dhamma, which looks completely different than the first two, then it should be pronounced as though it's M-U. So this is M-A, M-I, M-U. That's the first thing you're going to see on the top of the page of lesson number 1. Okay, so this is pronounced Ma, Mi, Mu. Then you're going to see it written again. Instead of just in its independent form, you're going to see some of the other forms. But here, I have written here, the beginning form, and the middle form, and the ending form. So you can see that this letter Mim is keeping its basic form. It just has a connector here to connect to the next letter, if there's a letter following it. Here it has a connector on both sides to connect to whatever is before it, and to connect to whatever is after it. And here it just has a connector because this is the final form. That's how it's going to be written if it's at the end of the word. Okay, so there are really three modifications here. When the letter is in the beginning of a word, when it's in the middle of the word, and when it's on the end of a word. Any question about that letter, how it looks in the beginning, how it looks in the middle, and how it looks in the end? Any question about that? Okay, so the letter that we're dealing with today is the letter Mim. Okay, it is like M in English. It's like M in English. There are only three vowel sounds in English, in Arabic, unlike English, there's only A, E, and U. That's it. Alright, so today you have to learn four things. Number one, recognize the letter in Arabic that represents an M. The name of it is Mim. The sound is like M in English. Okay, you have to learn to recognize this letter. How does it look when it's in the beginning of a word? How does it look in the beginning of a word? It's just a circle with a little line to connect to what follows it. If it's in the middle of a word, it has to connect to what's before and after it. How does it look different than here? Just this extra connector on the beginning of it. How does it look on the end? It goes back to its original form, but it has a connector to connect whatever was before it, before it ends the word, right? So you have to just recognize it in its different forms, the letter Mim. There's no other letter in this lesson today, so any letter that you see is going to be Mim, right? So even if you don't know the beginning and middle end form, you know the basic form of the letter, right? You see that little circle, you know that's Mim. So all you really have to know today are the three vowel sounds. If it's above, it's A. If it's below, it's E. And otherwise, if it's that third symbol that looks completely different, it's U. Alright? Any question about these sounds? A, E, U. That's the vowel sounds in Arabic. Each of them can be elongated by Aleph, Waw, and Ya to become A, E, and U. And we'll learn them separately in a separate lesson for each one of these vowels when they are elongated. For today, we just have the short vowel sounds. Okay. So somebody read for me. From the people who didn't learn the alphabet before. From the people who didn't, raise your hand. Naam, Abdullahi. First one.
Mi, Ma.
Naam. Okay, he said what? Mi,
Ma.
Okay, read again. Mu, me. Okay, read again.
Ma, ma.
Ma, ma, and this one?
Me, me.
Me, me, and this one?
Ma, ma.
Okay, somebody else read. Who didn't learn the alphabets before? Who didn't learn the alphabets before? Naam, Omar, right? Omar Kabir? Well, how did I get the second name? It's all right.
No, I'm nervous. I'm
scared. No problem. Oh, you're nervous. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's all right. Okay, just remember, this the sound underneath is kasra, E, E. So you're going to say, am I, me. Huh? Read from here. Me. Uh-huh. Ma.
Mo.
Mo.
Me.
Mama. Uh-huh. So the nervousness gone now? Is the nervousness gone now? Okay, somebody else read. Who didn't know the alphabet before?
Go off the board and forget the book. Like, it was easier to do it. Like,
good, no problem. Who didn't learn the alphabet before? Or maybe forgot it, learned it 20 years ago and don't remember it anymore? Naam, fadla ya akhi. Jamal.
Yes.
Jamal, mashallah, I got it. By the help of Allah, Jamal. But you may have to help me next week. I may forget by then. Huh?
I see you at Isha.
Oh, okay, good. Read. First line.
Me.
Ma. Me. Ma. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mo.
Me. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. This one.
Ma.
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 Ma. Uh-huh.
Me.
Me. Me. Uh-huh.
Mo.
Mo. Okay. Somebody else. Somebody else. Okay, even if you know, Judei. Judei. This is going to be hard for me, man. Judei. Judei, you got to help me, all right? Judei. If I call on you, make sure you remind me of your name. Judei. 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 Okay, let's read. You want to try? Okay, read the first word.
Me.
Uh-huh. Me.
Ma.
Ma.
Mo.
Mo.
Me.
Me.
Ma.
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 Me.
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 Mo.
Mo. Easy, right?
Yeah.
Somebody else. Huh? No? Anybody else? Now, Abdul Shakur. Abdul Shakur, go ahead, read.
Me.
Me.
Ma.
Ma.
Mo.
Mo.
Me.
Me.
Mama.
Mama.
Me. Me.
Me. Me.
Mo.
Mo. It's not necessary for the sisters to be listening to the brothers read. Rather, the sisters, they may also read to one of the sisters in the sisters' area. They don't have to listen to this part where the brother is reading. They can read themselves. And he practiced reading also. Naam, somebody else. Naam, Salahuddin?
No.
Salahuddin, naam.
Me?
Me?
Ma?
Ma? Uh-huh.
Mo?
Mo?
Me?
Me?
Ma?
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 Mo? Mo? La, 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 la.
A? E. A? E. Underneath E. Me?
Me?
Me? Uh-huh. Oh.
Mo.
Mo. Mo. Good. Ahsant. Mashallah. Somebody else. Somebody else. Rafiq? Is it Rafiq? Please help me next time, huh? Because I feel good when I get somebody's name, but then I forget the next time, right? Okay, read.
Me?
Ma?
Mo?
Me?
Mama?
Down. Me, huh? Me, me? Mo, mo. Somebody else. Somebody else. Okay, let's go to the second line. Let's go to the second line. Okay, the second line, notice, what's the difference between the first line and the second line? These have two letters, and these have
three.
More than two letters. These have three?
No.
Some of them have three, and some of them have?
Four.
Okay. I'm going to be very meticulous when I ask a question. I ask questions for a reason. It's not just Danny just trying to fill in the time. But I want to see who's really paying attention. These have two letters. These have three or four. If you said these have three, that means you were somewhat observant. But you missed this. Okay, I want you to pay careful attention. Okay, who wants to read line two? Now I'm Khatib.
Me,
mo, ma, uh-huh. Ma, me, mo, uh-huh.
Me, ma, mo, me.
Me, ma, mo, me. Somebody else read this line. Naam, Abdullahi.
Me,
mo,
ma.
Me, mo, ma.
Ma, me, mo.
Ma, me, mo.
Me, ma, mo, me.
me, ma, mu, me. Yani, if it's above, it's a. If it's below, it's e. A, e. A, e. O. Okay, somebody else read. We're going to stop in a moment, right now. We're going to stop momentarily. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Who wants to read? Naam, Umar, go ahead, read.
Me, mu, ma.
Good. Me, mu, ma, uh-huh.
Ma, me, mu,
uh-huh.
Me, ma, mu,
me. Not that difficult. It's not that difficult. If you study this lesson, I'm going to give you, before you leave here today, I'm going to give you some extra exercises with just the letter meme, but a little more combinations than this. Okay? So I want you to take that home with you, for those who learn alphabet for the first time, and practice with it during the week. Practice with it. Practice until it's easy for you to pronounce these different vowel combinations. Today, our intent is what? To learn the vowel combinations. To distinguish between fatha, a, and kasra, e, and dhamma, u. That's what I want you to do this week. I want you to learn well the vowel combinations, the variations in the vowels, a, e, u. If you learn that well, that's the foundation that we're going to apply to every letter that comes after this. Same thing, a, e, u. Okay? But you have to know those vowel sounds well. You can't be getting confused between a and e. Otherwise, what's going to happen when you're reading the Quran? We're going to hear somebody saying, instead of Alhamdulillahi, we're going to hear them saying Alhamdulillah. And that's wrong. The Quran is the speech of Allah. And we listen sometimes, and people are reciting Quran, and they're saying stuff. It's not in the Quran. Because they didn't, and some of them are Arabs, they didn't learn well the vowel sounds. As simple as this might be, A, E, and U, they didn't pay attention to it. They didn't give care to it. So I want you to give care to this. I want you to learn these three short vowel sounds well. So when you come back next week and we take a new letter, it's going to be easy for you to know the vowel sounds. What you're going to be concentrating on next week is the new letter. And the new letter is going to be noon, which is also very easy, like the N in English. And the third lesson is going to be sukoon. Yani recognizing how do you pronounce a letter when it doesn't have a vowel sound. That's what we're going to be doing next week. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I want you to practice this lesson well. Remember I said in the beginning, some of you were late. I'm not trying to rub it in, but I'm just letting you know that you have to come on time. You, for homework, every week, you have to review what we took in the previous classes and preview what we're going to take in the next class. So I'm telling you what we're going to be taking in the next class, lesson 2 and lesson 3. Look at it before you come to class. I don't expect you to know it perfectly, but look at it so you have some idea what's going on and you're able to ask questions about what was not clear to you. Any questions before we close? Okay, whoever didn't register previously, please make sure you give me your name on one of those slips, your name, and clearly print your email address. If there's a number, make the number clear. If it's a letter, don't make a number look like a letter. Sometimes I don't know the difference between L and 1. They look the same. Okay? If you don't make it clear, you make difficulty for me. And Allah is not going to be pleased with you making difficulty on the Muslims. Okay? So be easy on the Muslims. Be gentle with the Muslims. Don't make any hardship on the Muslims. Okay? I will be sending you notes, those who are registering today that we sent out to the class previously. And I will be sending you new information also during this week. So please pay attention to your emails. Please get them. And please do your homework. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك والله يوفقكم الجميع. We're going to stop now for Salat. We have a few minutes before the Iqamah.